All right, everyone. So today we are taking a little detour scripturally, not a detour from Scripture, just a detour from where we've been in Scripture. If you're ever at a church and they take a detour from Scripture, just leave. I won't normally tell you to leave a church, but that's when you will. But hey, I'm going to read. Actually, I was just like, we finished up the Gospel of John, and we're heading into a new series next week. We're doing our core values. We're going to be talking about some of the things that we really value high in this church, and it's going to be an awesome, like, just nine-week series where we're going to be talking about different specific things that we value. If you go on our website, spoiler alert, it's all there, and we're just going to stick with what's on the website so you guys can you can follow along with us, and hopefully that'll give all of you here a really good core understanding of who we are as a church. And they're going to be, what do you call, a topical message, right? But at the same time, we're not like afraid of topical messages as long as they're still taught biblically, right? And that's what we're planning on doing. So let me know if I'm doing well or not next week. But hey, we're going to be jumping into 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to read these scriptures out. We're going to be kind of jumping around a little bit, but this was one of my favorite Bible stories. And I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to preach on it because we have a week where I can teach on whatever I want. So I'm going to teach on this because it's my favorite. So let's go ahead and jump in. 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to start in verse 17. And we're going to skip around a little bit. If you don't believe me, just read it all on your own when you leave here. I'm going to keep it in context here, but it says this: "Then it happened when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said to him, 'Is that you, O troubler of Israel?' And he answered, 'I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, in that you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. Now therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table.' So Ahab sent for the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him.' But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, 'I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophet are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull, lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God.'" Okay, now we're going to fast forward a little. Actually, it says, "Then all the people said, 'It is well spoken.'" Then we're going to fast forward to verse 37. It says this: "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God.' And Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal, do not let one of them escape.' So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain.'" Okay, let me pray. Father God, thank you for this word. Thank you for your scriptures. Thank you for your truth. God, I pray that you would just convict us and encourage us today through the teaching of your word, and that you would speak through me to minister to the hearts of your people, God. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. So this is like Elijah's mighty stand right here. He basically does this massive display with all of these people on the top of a mountain, and he puts God to the test against the false gods that the people were following. Now you have to remember, this wasn't like the good guys versus the bad guys. This was God versus the false gods that his own people were worshiping, right? So God was convicting his own people. So the children of Israel had fallen away from their true God and were following these false gods, right? I love the prophet Elijah. That's part of the reason we named our son Elijah, our firstborn son. We're like, man, what a cool prophet. What a mighty man. He's done some incredible things, but the part of the scripture that we didn't read was where the prophets of Baal were trying to get their God to bring fire onto the altar. And Elijah's like, maybe he's taking a nap. You know, maybe you got to yell louder. Like, is he using the restroom? Like, what's going on? Where's your God at right now? You know, Elijah was like mocking them. And he puts this massive display. You can imagine the pressure that was on Elijah's shoulders. But he trusted God so much. And on top of that, he's one of the only two people in scripture that didn't end up actually dying a physical death. He gets taken up into heaven. The other person was Enoch. You can see in Genesis chapter 5, it talks about all of these people, these patriarchs that lived and died, lived and died, lived and died. And then it says, and Enoch walked with God and was not, for he was taken. It's like Enoch was just this mighty man of God we don't know anything about. And all of a sudden he just goes, God's like, I want you now. You're coming with me. Same thing happened with Elijah. Elijah is there, and Elisha was another prophet that was following him, and he looks up, and Elijah's taken up in chariots of fire. You guys know the song Chariots of Fire? It's that you're running through the finish line, and you run through the banner, and it rips, you know, and that song's always playing. It's literally named after these chariots of fire that Elijah was taken up in. But this is probably Elijah's most iconic moment, is when fire comes down from heaven and consumes the altar. And right here in verse 17, Ahab says, is that you, O troubler of Israel? That's what he calls Elijah, the troubler of Israel. It's interesting because Elijah prayed for a drought to be upon the land. So there was a drought upon the land. You can imagine, like right now, we eat so much processed junk food and all this garbage. But back in the day, if there was no rain, there was no food. Right? There was no rain. There were no crops. The animals didn't get to eat. Everyone was starving. You know, people would literally die in these droughts. Elijah asked for a drought, and there was a drought for almost 3 years on the nation of Israel. So everybody's starving. Everybody's upset. And they're all blaming Elijah. They're like, Elijah, it's your fault. You're the troubler of Israel. But Elijah answers and says, I've not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, for you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and have followed the Baals. So check this out. They're blaming Elijah for the drought, but Elijah's like, no, you guys are not following the Lord God. You guys are following these false gods, and because of it, the drought is here. This is actually God. He's trying to perform surgery on the nation of Israel. He's trying to extract these false gods out of their lives because they're following these false gods. But guess what they do? Instead, they lean even heavier into worshiping Baal. So Baal was apparently the sun god, and he was known for bringing provision and crops and being able to influence the weather. So you think that's a surprise that that's what God attacked? That God said, oh, you want to pray for the god of weather and crops and provision? Guess what? You won't get a drop of rain for 3 years. And then you go ahead and pray to Baal and see what he does. Nothing. Nothing came at all, right? It's interesting because oftentimes we go through troubling times in our lives and we point to God. God, why are you allowing this to happen to me? God, why am I going through this? What are you doing to me? And God is like, I'm trying to get the garbage out. I'm trying to help you, right? There have been so many times in my life where the Lord has crushed me and he's broken me. And I'm like shaking my fist at him until I realize, I'm like, oh, wait, it's me. I'm always the problem, right? I remember when I first got saved, I had this, I tell this story all the time, and Brianna laughs at me because the Lord used her to break me at one moment, but I'll tell the story. I had this iPod video. You remember iPod video back in the day? It was before the iPhone. It was like when the little rectangle iPods were there, and you could kind of, it was like a touchscreen circle, so you could scroll through the songs, but it had the nice tick noise. Apple, like, just, their products are just satisfying. I don't know what it is, but I'm not promoting them. This is not an official sponsor, but it had the color video thing on it, you know, and I could even put like music videos. I don't know why I'd watch a music video on a 2-inch screen, but I had the capability of doing it. And I had all this music on there that was pretty garbage, right? I mean, like, I grew up in kind of a heathen home, and so I listened to all kinds of just nasty music. And I remember feeling like the Lord was telling me, you should probably delete this music. You probably shouldn't be listening to this stuff. And I was the guy who'd, like, go on my iTunes, and I'd I would change the name of the songs and make sure that they were all capitalized and done properly. And I would like upload album art to all of my songs, you know, so it all had the original album art. I spent hours just sitting there going through making my playlist perfect. And I felt like the Lord was pressing on my heart. Just delete those songs, you know? That's it. I'm not telling you you got to throw the whole thing away. Just delete the songs. Brianna borrowed my iPod and brought it to 24 Hour Fitness, and she's running on the old, you know, treadmill. And then she leaves and leaves it in the cup holder of the treadmill, and then we call 24 Hour Fitness, of course. It was an iPod video. I mean, who's going to turn that thing in? Someone took it home. But, you know, the Lord removed it. But I remember, like, for a moment being like, seriously, Brianna? And then all of a sudden I'm like, you know what? The Lord's been telling me to get rid of this thing. Like, he absolutely was the one who allowed this to happen. And then I'm like, you know what? All right, thank you, Lord. Next time I get an iPod, I'm not going to put this garbage on it so I can keep it, you know? And I feel like that's like, it's such a small story. And I know that it's like, I do it in humor, but many of us go through serious things in our lives, difficult things in our lives. And oftentimes we shake our fist at God, but we need to be asking the question, Lord, why are we going through this? Some of you who have known me for the last couple years are like, Mike, you should probably ask yourself that question. The Lord's been breaking you pretty good. Yeah, and I've been asking that question, you know, Lord, what are you doing and why are you doing it? But you know what? God does a work in and through our lives. He cares enough about us to cause the drought so that when you pray to your false God, you realize that he doesn't provide, so that you turn your hearts back to him. That's his plan all along, right? And the Lord's trying to get them to understand that these false gods are actually killing you. They're destroying you. You need to follow me, is what he's saying, okay? So Elijah's like, I got a plan. I got this great plan. We're going to gather your people, and then we're going to gather my people, which is just me, if you notice. He's like, I'm the only one. So I'm going to go there by myself, and you're going to have 450 men there. And what we're going to do is we're going to get these oxen. We're going to cut them up. We're going to put them on the altar, these bulls. And then we're going to pray that your God, or you're going to pray that your God brings fire down. I'm going to pray that my God brings fire down. And so they prayed. And like I said, they were doing all these crazy things, trying to like yell and shout and doing all these weird things, trying to get their God to bring fire down. He didn't. It was silent. And then Elijah tells his servants, his buddies, he's like, hey, go get some water. And they're grabbing buckets of water and they're dumping it on the wood. They're dumping it on Elijah's wood altar that he made. Water after water after water till it was filled. It was a trench filled with water with wood in it. And then Elijah prays to God and God goes, and it burns the fire, burns the oxen, and sucks, just evaporates all the water instantly. You can imagine this massive display that happens here. So what the scriptures say here is Elijah in verse 21 comes to the people. This is right before the altar scene. He says, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered him not a word. Man, Elijah's saying, why are you faltering back and forth between two opinions? Why are you on the fence still? Can you not just choose to follow one or the other? Go ahead. If you're going to follow Baal, go follow. I mean, he's obviously not encouraging them to. But if you're going to follow Baal, go be a sicko, right? They did some sick stuff. But if you're going to follow God, you're going to bear the name Israel, governed by God. God's people, follow him. Follow him. And you can imagine the burden. Like when people follow false gods in the scriptures, it's like they're it's almost like they're cheating on their spouse. You can imagine, like, if Brianna and I, if I was just kind of unhappy in our marriage, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know, like, we don't really have these great conversations, so what I'm doing is I'm, like, just meeting with other women from McKinney and just, like, having conversations with them, you know, because it's nice. It's like I feel like they kind of meet that emotional need that I have, you know? You can imagine Brianna would be crushed. She'd be broken. I can't have my needs met that I should have in a marriage with somebody else. And the Lord is saying, I am your provider. I'm the one who takes care of you. I'm the one who brings the rain. I'm the one who grows the crops. You don't do a thing. Everything that you need, I provide. But yet you're going out and you're harloting yourself off for other gods. And I just want to ask this question. Where do you believe your provision comes from? Where do you believe that your source comes from? Who is your source? What is your source? Like, where does your peace come from? Are you ever in a situation where you're laying down and you're in bed? I'm speaking from experience because this is where I get just wrecked, is when I'm laying in bed and I'm stressed out. And I'm thinking about everything. And I'm rolling around and I can't sleep. And Brianna's like, go to sleep. You know, because I'm keeping her up and I'm overthinking everything. And I have to stop and slow down and pray and be like, all right, Lord, I remember you're my source of peace. Because without you, I'm going to stress myself out and everything's going to become a problem and I'm going to be overwhelmed and I'm going to be thinking about my to-do list for tomorrow and I'm going to be crushed. Where does your joy come from? If circumstances aren't going super well in your life, does your joy get stripped from you? Do you look for it somewhere else? Or are you allowing the Lord to be your source of joy? Where does your self-worth come from? Where do you value yourself? Or do you say, no, that's contingent upon how people see me. If people compliment me, if people tell me I'm doing a good job, if other people, wait, am I validated through others or does my validation come from the Lord? Because I'm telling you right now, it's not a huge difference between what the children of Israel were doing, saying, I'm going to find my provision through Baal versus I'm not going to find my provision in the Lord. I'm not going to find my peace in the Lord. I'm going to find it through my circumstances. If I get this raise, then I'll have peace. Right? If this thing works out, if I get the house that I was trying to get, then I'll have joy. Right? If I get to redecorate my house with brand new pillows every 6 weeks, you know, then I'll have joy. Where does your joy come from? You guys are all looking at Brianna. She didn't do that. She good. It's like every 6 months, okay? We're good. Elijah's name actually means the Lord is my God. The Lord is my God. So Elijah's like, I already made the decision. The Lord is my God. I'm asking you, is the Lord your God? The Lord. Imagine if we allow the Lord to reign, not just as Savior, but every area of your life. Imagine if you said, God, my joy is yours. I'm not going to let it be contingent upon my circumstances. My joy is yours to receive. And if you tell me to have joy, I'm going to have joy because I'm saved, because I'm a child of God. I think about people like, man, I'm a San Diego kid, so I grew up with the San Diego Chargers, right? San Diego Chargers, they're not San Diego anymore. Some of you are like, yeah, blue and gold, right? And they had, there's this player called Junior Seau. Remember Junior Seau? And there was even a restaurant in San Diego called Seau's Restaurant. And there was like a really cool spot, burgers and pizza and all this stuff. And we used to go there all the time. And I remember Junior Seau took his own life later in his life. And man, it was so crushing because like everybody knew Junior Seau in San Diego. He would even come to the restaurant sometimes. His brother was there all the time. And he was like this homegrown guy that were like, man, how could this guy take his own life? And I thought about it. I was this young Christian. I'm like, man, I don't know him. So I'm not speaking from experience, but I could imagine his identity was in who he was as an athlete. One of the best. He was one of the greatest. I mean, he was an incredible athlete. And he retired and then decided to come out of retirement and try again and didn't quite perform as well. So then kind of retired again and then ended up taking his own life. It's like, man, where was his identity? His identity was in who he was as a football player. And then he got old and he couldn't compete with the younger people and he would get injured easier. What is your identity in? Who are you? Because if we say I'm a child of God, there's nothing that can take that away. Nothing at all. I mean, if you're an electrician, you could lose that, right? If you're, pick any career. You can lose any one of those things. We put our identity in so many different things, but yet we can lose those. But I'm telling you right now, Elijah is saying, is the Lord your God? Are you willing to submit every area of your life to me and call, not to me, to the Lord and call him your God? The word Lord, it means Lord, it means King, it means overseer, it means ruler. He has authority to rule over our lives. And I'm telling you right now, when you become a Christian, it's not instant. You don't all of a sudden give him everything. You don't give him your language. You don't give him your behaviors. You don't give him your free time. You don't give him everything. Those are areas of your life that you have to willingly submit to him one by one and say, God, this is yours. God, this is yours. God, this is yours. I mean, even we just finished the Gospel of John. Even Peter wasn't willing to give him his allegiance at the end, right? When Jesus was going to the cross, he denied him because he was ashamed. So he wasn't quite there yet. But as he grew, he started submitting more and more and more. That's a lifelong process to say, Lord, I'm insecure and I doubt myself all the time. I'm submitting that to you. It's yours. I want to be more confident. I want to be confident because I'm confident in you. God, I feel just ugly and I feel dumb. Every time I look in the mirror, I just don't like what I see. Lord, I'm created by you. I was created in your image. I was beautifully, wonderfully made, and I'm going to start believing that. Every single aspect of your life, start to give it to him. Elijah says, how long are you going to falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal, follow Baal. But I'm telling you, I'm going to put it to the test right now, and you're going to see who wins this battle. So then this happens in verse 22 where he says, I'm the only prophet. You bring your 450. We're going to put this to the test right now. And what I wrote down here was, when it comes to the world's attempt to satisfy, it always falls short. When it comes to the world's attempt to satisfy, it always falls short. Have you ever had long conversations with people who don't believe in God, atheists or agnostics, and they try to explain to you certain things, morality, purpose, joy, whatever those things are? It's kind of comical because it typically doesn't, there's no answer. They don't like our answer because they're like, oh, you say it because it's in the Bible. Okay, sure. But their answer typically has zero depth of understanding, right? So like joy, what happens if you ask an atheist, where does your joy come from? I mean, do what makes you happy, right? Do the things that make you happy. Okay, well, what if the things that make me happy make others unhappy? Well, you shouldn't do that. Don't do that, you know? It's like, why not? Well, it's like we were just created as just a blob, right? How about purpose? What's your purpose? You ever ask an atheist, what's your purpose? Well, there is no purpose. We're all just here by accident. I saw this meme on Instagram, and do you guys know what the word lore means? Right? A lot of you nerds do. Lore is basically like backstory from something, like Star Wars lore would be like the backstory of what happened, you know, but there was this meme and it was atheist lore versus Christian lore. I know, I'm like, that's like half the church here. Nerds, bunch of nerds. Atheist lore versus Christian lore. Now it was like, the Christian lore started out with like, it was like space and all of a sudden there's like light and it explodes. And then you see like Adam and Eve is reaching for the fruit and the snake comes and there's all this crazy stuff. And then there's Noah and he's like floating over the waters. And then you see the plagues and Pharaoh and all of a sudden the waters are parting and it's this beautiful animation that somebody created and there's crazy music behind it. And then it says atheist lore. And it was hilarious because it was just like a monkey and then it just turns into a person. And that was all that it was, you know? And it was hilarious. But the thing is when we put God to the test against the world, God always reigns supreme and the world always falls short. So I just want to encourage you right now, if you're trying to find your joy in the world, it's not going to last very long. What you're going to find is going to be really temporary. If you're seeking after momentary pleasure, it's going to fall short. You're going to end up in trouble. Right? And God is saying, find your joy in me. If you're trying to find purpose, good luck, right? Outside of God, you're not going to find it. So many celebrities are trying to go out and they're giving their money away to organizations and they're building houses and they're doing all these kinds of things to try to like help people, but they really don't have a purpose. They're just afraid that they're going to die one day and they're not going to have done anything. So all their purpose is like, can I leave a legacy? Can people remember my name maybe? And that's the best they've got. I'm telling you, when it comes to God, your purpose is to glorify him. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Every single one of you are gifted beyond your recognition and understanding. Like God has created you way better than you think God created you. I'm telling you right now. You're smarter than you think. Your memory is probably better than you think. Your reading comprehension is probably better than you think, right? You're probably more extroverted when you need to be than you think, right? You're probably a better counselor and encourager than you think. God has created every single one of you with gifts and talents and abilities to bring him glory. And I'm telling you right now, if you don't believe that, I'm going to ask you the same thing Elijah said. How long will you falter? Whose voice is more important? Whose voice is more important? Your voice, your doubt, or God's voice? It's about time we start listening to the Lord's voice in our life. I'm going to read these last few verses here. Verse 38 says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.' And Elijah said to them, 'Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape.' So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Then Elijah said to Ahab, 'Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the abundance of rain.'" So this is pretty brutal here, because you read it and you're like, oh, that's, you know, you kind of just read it as a sentence. But then you think about it, like, you can't portray this in like a cartoon. You know what I mean? This isn't a kid's coloring page. Right? This is a pretty brutal scene where they take the prophets of Baal and they literally execute them. They take them out. And it's really extreme how they dealt with it. And something similar, I remember teaching in youth ministry through the book of Joshua, and there was a time when somebody, when the Lord said, "Don't take any of the gold, don't take any of the treasure once you take down this city." And there was one family who decided to take some of the gold and some of the treasures. And all of a sudden, like, they went into battle again and they started losing. And they're like, "Why are we losing?" And the Lord's like, "There's sin in the camp. Somebody sinned. Somebody did what we told them not to do." And it was this man named Achan. And they took him out into the midst of everybody and just stoned them, took him out, the whole family, and said, "There's sin, we're going to remove it." Okay, now it's brutal. I like to think that in the Old Testament, there are these physical representations that happen, that the Lord wants us to understand something spiritual, right? So the New Testament, typically it's spiritual, and the Old Testament, typically it's physical. Now that's always not always true, because Jesus died physically, right? But at the same time, what I'm reading here is that there was sin that was oppressing God's people, and the Lord said, "Let's deal with it. Let's take it out." Now, the Lord didn't kill his own people that were following Baal. He killed the prophets of Baal, took them out, and said, "We've got to be forceful with the problem." Now, this is a side note. Like, this is something that's really important for us to understand. Like, when we live in sin willingly, God, like, wants to bless us because he loves us and he cares for us and we're his children. But he's like, "Man, it's so hard for me to, like, pour out my blessing on you, because I don't want you to think that your lifestyle of sin that's going to kill you is being supported by me." Right? Like, you're paying for your kid's cell phone, maybe. They're going to college, right? They're doing awesome. And then all of a sudden they're like, "I don't love you anymore. You know, I'm moving away. And I'm going to go move in with my, you know, with my three friends, and we're just going to party and we're going to do this and whatever." They just bail on you. It's like, "All right, I'm not paying for your cell phone anymore." You know what I mean? Like, it's the only power I got left. But you know what? I don't want you to think I'm supporting what you're doing. I'm not a fan of this. I'm not a fan of the lifestyle that you're living. And God sees us the same way. He's like, "Man, I love you and I care for you, but you have sin in the camp." And he cares for us enough to say, "Get rid of it. Kill it. Wipe it out," right? We're not like a fire and brimstone church, but we're a truth church. So we want to teach on it. When it comes up in scripture, we want to make sure that we're teaching it. And God was very forceful in how he dealt with sin in the camp. Took it out, wiped it out, said, "Execute it." But notice how beautiful this is. Verse 41, Elijah says to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." It's like there's been a three-year drought. But you know why there's been a three-year drought? Because you guys have been leaning on the prophets of Baal, the god of the sun, the god of provision, the god of crops, the god of weather. You've been praying to him, and I haven't wanted to answer that god's prayers. I don't want to answer your prayers to the false god. I don't want you to think that I'm going to support this destructive lifestyle that you're living. So I'm not going to bring any rain, not a drop. The moment that the prophets of Baal were taken out of Israel and they turned their hearts back to him and said, "He is God," he said, "I can hear it." Can you hear that? He hears thunder in the distance, right? He hears there all of a sudden dark clouds are blowing in forcefully. God's going to bring the rain down. And I'm telling you, if you feel like you're in a position right now where you're just stale and you feel trapped and you feel like, man, Lord, I used to feel your presence moving, doing mighty things. I used to remember when you'd speak to me. I remember when I used to be in worship and I would just be in tears and I would feel your presence. I remember that. I want you to ask yourself the question, are you listening to what the Lord is telling you? Are you destroying the prophets of Baal in your life? Are you choosing to say, today I'm going to walk away from my old lifestyle and follow you? It's called repentance. It's called repentance. Repentance is something that we get to do on a daily basis. I'm walking this way and I'm walking into sin and the Lord says, repent. 180 degree turn, now I'm going to follow Jesus. That's what repentance is. God is calling us to repentance. Elijah called an entire nation to repentance. That's why I love this story so much, because I could just imagine this man, this mighty man of God with no fear standing up and saying, repent. And this kind of a funny side note, but you guys know John the Baptist, many people were like, is it Elijah? Like, do some research, like on your own. If you just want to go down like this fun rabbit trail, ask yourself the question, is John the Baptist Elijah? You're going to be so confused. The more you study, the more confused you get. But the Lord says, for those who are willing to believe, he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. So you see John the Baptist come. He's this wild man. They say he was hairy and he had a leather belt. And yet Elijah also was described in the same way. Super weird, right? And Elijah was eating locusts and wild honey, this weird guy. But one thing that he was known for was telling people, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, repent, repent. We cannot walk sinfully before a mighty God. And God is saying, I want to pour out the blessing on you. I want to pour the provision out on you. I want your lives to be so blessed, and I want you to have abundance of rain pouring down, more than you even need, overflowing. But I don't want to do it if you're not going to follow me. And it's not because he's just mean. It's not because he just wants to rule us with an iron fist. It's because he knows what's best for us. The same way I feel like I know what's best for my children, the same way we had to have a talk with Jack because he had 5 bags of artificial chips yesterday at the park, you know? We know what's best for our kids. We know what's best for them, but you know what? At the end of the day, they've got to make that decision to follow, to listen, to obey. And God is calling each and every one of us right now. Don't do it because you've got this preacher saying, repent, repent, repent. That's not it. You before the Lord, have that time with him. You pray on your own. When you go home, when you're in your bed at night, when you wake up in the morning, when you're in that quiet place, whatever that place is in your house, find that spot and just pray and say, Lord, I don't want to falter between two opinions anymore. I don't want to find my joy and my provision in my circumstances. I don't want to feel like I'm happy when I'm financially blessed and I'm unhappy when I'm not financially blessed, right? When I get a big zit on my head, I don't want to feel disgusting, right? Like, no, Lord, I want to really believe that I am yours and that I was created for a purpose and that I'm a royal priesthood, a chosen generation set apart for his great purposes. That's who God has created you to be. Let's live like it. Let's be those obedient children who follow him, who love him, who serve him, who obey him, because God will do amazing things in and through your life. So we're going to be jumping into our core values series next week. I'm so excited about it. It's going to be incredible. Invite somebody to come out and be part of it. And I just want to, like I said, I want to challenge you. Spend that intimate time with the Lord this week. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your grace and your love for us. Thank you for seeing us in sin and not just burning us into a pile of ashes like we deserve, but just being long-suffering and patient with us, God. Lord, I think about what the prophet Elijah said. Elijah was declaring, the Lord is my God, but it doesn't look like the Lord is your God. Choose today who you will serve. Are you going to choose to find provision elsewhere? Or are you going to submit under the mighty and gracious hand of the Lord? I just pray for each and every person in here today, Lord. If anybody's resonating this right now and they're just struggling and maybe there's sin in their life and they just don't know how to deal with it, God, I pray that they would just come to you as a loving and caring father and have a conversation with you, talk with you, and that you would guide them and lead them into repentance and forgiveness, Lord. And God, maybe it's not some heavy, mighty sin that we're bearing, but maybe it's just not truly understanding who you created us to be. If there's anyone in here who's just struggling with insecurity and struggling with worry and doubt, or maybe they just haven't found joy in their current circumstances, Lord, I pray that they would just, once again, they would open their hands to you. They would fall on their knees before you and say, Lord, will you be my source? Lord, I believe in you, and so out of my heart flows rivers of living water. Your mighty spirit lives in and through me. And so, God, we have joy unthinkable, Lord. We have peace that surpasses all understanding, Lord. We have strength and power that we can't comprehend dwelling inside of our souls, God. So I pray that we would tap into that, that you would be our source, and God, you would build us up. Help us to understand how we were created to be so that we can go out and be lights unto the world for those who don't have hope. So Lord, in closing this prayer, I pray that we would not live as those who don't have hope, but we would live as those who have your spirit dwelling in and through us, God. We would no longer falter between two opinions, but we would choose today to serve you as Lord. God, we honor you. We love you. We're grateful for you. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, God bless y'all. Let's spend time together, fellowship. We'll see you.